Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 77. I want to talk tonight about what I think is a great subject here that we see in Psalm 77, and that is the idea of Christian suffering and problems and how we go through that and what happens to us. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord first and ask His blessing upon this meeting, and then let's go into the Scriptures and see what He would have for us. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank You so much for Your love. We love You because You first loved us, and we come to You tonight, to Your Word, and we ask that You would bless Your Word to us, Lord. We know that Your Word does not return void, and we pray that in our hearts and minds tonight, that we would just have something from Your Word that we might really be able to readily apply, and that we might treasure and cherish, and that You might use to strengthen our faith and our hearts, Lord. Lord, I ask Your blessing upon me, that You'd give me Your grace and wisdom as we look into these things. In Your Son's name, amen. All right, so Psalm 77, it's one of those psalms that's not tremendously happy, or at least there's not a lot of. You would say perhaps there's more sadness than happiness. So, but I want to go through this. I think it just grabbed my attention, and I wanted to go through this. So, let's go through it together. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, because that's what I have tonight. All right, so it says, I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and He gave ear to me. So, I kind of have some observations just through here. It's like the first thing you can observe is that the psalmist is crying out to God with his voice. I mean, so that's, I think, a biblical pretext or a biblical, pattern to follow, you know, to cry out to God. So typically you only cry out, when you're in, as it says in verse 2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord, right? And He gave ear to me at the end of verse 1. God will give ear to our troubles. God is there, and He will give us His ear in our troubles. And the psalmist does this in verse 2. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. And so, I want to tell you that it's a good thing. You are suffering and you're in trouble. Seek the Lord. That's an appropriate response to suffering, to trouble, to problems in our lives. An appropriate response is to seek the Lord. Now, it would be an ideal response to seek the Lord, at other times, right? To seek the Lord during our time of rest. To seek the Lord during our time of prosperity, But if you don't, that's okay. It turns out God won't reject you on the basis of whether or not you sought Him out in times of prosperity. God will reject you only on the basis of your personal sin and on the basis of forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you go through a struggle and in that day you remember the Lord, wow, great. Go to Him on your knees. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. So this is a psalmist who's got problems that are they're not trivial. This isn't like, an easy thing. Like, I'm just really fretting over, whether to buy a, a Cadillac or a Lincoln Town Car. Right? This is not the kind of problem this guy's facing, right? This guy is facing some real problems, some real suffering. And he says, my soul refused to be comforted. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. This is someone who is really, really suffering. He is disturbed, right? So have any of us ever gone through this? I mean, thankfully I can say that my wife and I, don't experience tons of this every day. But yes, our lives do not consist of... So this is something that I've been thinking of, because I think that there's a subset of Christendom, at least in North America, that teaches that Christianity is characterized by victory. And by victory over all the little things that you would want to have victory over. The kinds of things that they make movies about. Fictional movies. Right? The only thing that we're promised victory over is sin and death and hell. And we have been granted victory over those. But we have not been granted victory over traffic jams. We've not been granted victory over sickness, over illness. You know, we do not have victory over birth defects. We do not have victory. There are lots of things in the human experience that are common to the Christian experience. So what do we, as believers, how do we respond to this? Right? So I was super fired up when I was reading through this. He says, I remembered God and was troubled. Isn't that interesting? I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. This guy is just in the depths. He has had problems. And so, kids, if you're listening and paying attention, you in the Christian life will have trouble. You will have things that you struggle with, things that are very hard. And adults, and you know, all of us, aged and experienced people, it's not going to stop until the Lord ushers us into His presence, right? You know, things are going to happen, and this is a natural human response. You know, it's not sin to suffer. And it's not a sin to be troubled by suffering. That's not a sin. That's just natural. That's, you know, as natural as breathing. I remembered and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed in verse 3. In verse 4, he says, you hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled I cannot speak. Have you ever had such trouble that you don't even know how to express it to somebody? Somebody's like, what's the matter? And you're like, you know, I've gone through this. My wife has gone through this. I know of Christians who have gone through this. And this is, I think, what I want to speak to. This is the times that I want to speak to tonight. You hold my eyelids open. He's now ascribing his sleeplessness to God. And have you ever had trouble such that you can't sleep? You know, sleeplessness, we think, oh, well, that's just a medical condition. Just, you know, take a pill. Oh, so is depression. Take another pill. Right? Well, so is anxiety. Yep, there's pills for those. Right? But those are common to the human experience, common to the Christian experience, and those are common biblical language. You know, the Bible does not promise us that we are free from any of that. And so he says, I have considered, in verse 5, the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart. And my spirit makes diligent search. He's causing his mind to search, right? He's causing his mind here. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. And this is the questions that he's asking in verse 7. He says, will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Has His mercy ceased forever? Has His promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Oops. Oh, forgot about that. Right? Does God do this? Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? These are human ways of describing God. This is the way I would describe another human. If a human had, you know, someone, even a fellow believer, had done something mean to me, I would ask these same questions. Have you cast me off forever? You know, will you be favorable no more? Has your mercy ceased? Has your promise failed? Have you forgotten to be gracious to me? You know, have you in anger shut up your tender mercies towards me? No more love. Where's the love? This is the way in which we think of another human. And so, it's only natural to start to think along our relationship with God in these ways, right? This is, it's just natural. And so you start to think of God in human terms, you know. I mean, how many of us are guilty of this, of trying to think of God? And, you know, it's so easy. I mean, you know, you're driving down the road and you hit every single red light on the way and it more than doubled your time. You know, I could make it there in 10 minutes, but no, it's 30 minutes because every single red light. And you think to yourself, God just hates me, doesn't he? It comes in and I'm like, oh, silly Trent, right? Does God hate me because he's, you know, put all these red lights in my way? No. Katie, does God hate me because of red lights? Does God forget about me, Katie? Right? These are the questions that I ask my kids. And the reason I ask kids is because they're so natural. These questions are totally, totally natural questions. Right here in Scripture, this guy is asking of God, has his mercy ceased forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious? You know, these are totally natural questions. And I ask them to my kids as a teaching point. Guess what? God wrote it down for us as a teaching point. What can we learn from this? What can we learn from this? Well, the next section, starting at verse 10, goes on and it says, "And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." What's the right hand stand for? The right hand of God stands for His mighty acts and His works. Which, actually, he says in verse 11, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old." And so what is he thinking about here? He's thinking about... Now, at the time this psalmist was thinking about this, he was thinking about things like the flood, you know, the Exodus. Probably foremost the Exodus, you know, the crossing of the Red Sea was probably... You can get that down in verse 16, I think. That's kind of poetic, looking at the crossing of the Red Sea and the way that God led them out from 16 towards the end there. In verse 20, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. But he's remembering back on the things that God has done. He says, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds." So, the start of his recovery, right, if you will, is to remember back, okay, so right now, God, I'm convinced God just doesn't like me right now, you know, whatever my problem is. And this is not, I was joking about the red light, because the problems I think that Scripture addresses are real problems. The comfort that we get from Scripture is not for, you know, red lights. The comfort that we get from Scripture is for real, you know, when, you know, your firstborn daughter has been given a year to live. The problems that Scripture addresses is when you've got unavoidable, unsolvable problems, you know. Unsolvable problems. So, he meditates on God's works. What has God done? Okay, well, you can think of the huge things, right? The flood, the Tower of Babel, you know, the Exodus, right? Isn't it interesting that the psalmist gets comfort from this, and he is unable to think back? Now, humanly speaking, we know that this psalm was actually inspired by the Holy Spirit, who knew all about Calvary. Human author, well, we don't know. I mean, God could have given him a vision, you know, but the human author might not have known anything at all of Calvary, of the great salvation that our God has freely given to us. And he says, "Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples, and you have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph." And we can say, "You have truly redeemed your people, sons and daughters adopted into the family of God," right? As believers, we can say this. Wow. We can look back much more powerfully than the psalmist could at the time. you know, notwithstanding whatever knowledge the Holy Spirit may have given him that we don't know, but we have a lot that we can look back on and remember. So, I want to go back to one of these early verses. It says here in verse 2, "In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remember God and was troubled. I complained, overwhelmed. You hold my eyelids open. He can't sleep. He can't speak to anybody." Right? One thing I wanted to point out that I didn't talk about is that oftentimes when we go through real struggling, we go in it and we know what the problem is. We're pretty good at identifying problems, you know. We know exactly what the problem is, you know. For example, on my commute, my problem is my red legs. Right? And we're so good at identifying problems. When my firstborn daughter is born with a heart defect that would require, you know, either termination of life or heart-lung transplant, you know, most likely, I knew exactly what to pray for. I prayed for a miracle. Right? I knew what the problem was. The problem was her heart. And the answer is, I prayed for a miracle. Sometimes God answers those prayers. But sometimes God chooses to answer them in different ways. And sometimes we have less of an understanding of the problem than we think. So what I do want to point out is that this is a long-standing thing. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. This is not like a 5-minute problem. And sometimes in the Christian walk, the problems that we have, that we present to God, sometimes we don't have a complete understanding of what they are. And sometimes, when we're convinced we know exactly what God's solution is, all right, God, this is my problem. This is the solution. Please do it, right? And so we have this kind of 3-step, really simplistic, you know, model of prayer, you know, where God is kind of like a vending machine, and, you know, we insert, you know, the coins of prayer, and maybe a couple, you know, coins of, you know, good works. Maybe we're going to impress God with that, right? And so we punch the button and order up exactly the solution, and we expect it to pop out and maybe get some change, right? But God does not work that way. And I think that all of Scripture, I can't address individual problems tonight, but just speaking in the aggregate, God does not work. God is not a cosmic vending machine. And when we're convinced in our heart of hearts that we know exactly what the problem is and exactly what the solution should be, sometimes God's not as convinced as we are. And sometimes I can tell you that there have been years of my life spent pursuing a solution that God never provided. And that the solution God did provide was to grow me out of the problem sometimes, to cause growth in my own self, right? So sometimes the solution is not what we think it is. So we have to approach this kind of situation, I think, with humility and recognize that even though we truly have such great perspective on everything, sometimes we can just have small areas where we have incomplete vision. So the psalmist concludes, "The waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you, and they were afraid. The depths also trembled, the clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound, your arrows also flashed about, the voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world, the earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known." I think this picture really gives us a great picture of who God is and His power. It's way beyond our imagining. And He has the power to answer. God has the power to make every red light turn green magically. You know, God has the power to cure every heart defect, every birth defect, every heart, other heart, inner heart, you know, spiritual defect. God has the power to cure all this stuff. And sometimes He chooses just to answer our prayers with a miracle. But sometimes He chooses to let us, through years of anguish, learn and discover what the real problem is. And sometimes that's very different from what we go into it thinking. You know, oh, I know exactly what this problem is. God, can you go ahead and get rid of this pesky situation here? And God uses these things. And God uses these times of anguish. And He says, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And truly, spiritually, He leads us by our hand. He is willing. You know, if we reach out to Him, He is willing and will take us and lead us. And so, this is just a quick devotional, but I just wanted to encourage you all, because God works through many, many circumstances in many, many ways. And He works through pain and suffering, sometimes far more. If we act in humility to seek Him, in troubling times. It says in Hebrews that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every way was tempted as we are, yet without sin. We have our Lord Jesus Christ, who is qualified as a great high priest. One of the qualifications is that He's human. You know, and that doesn't mean that He kind of floated through the earth. You know, He did walk on water, but He also thirsted and hungered and suffered pain and wept. You know, our Lord Jesus was in every way tempted as we are, in every way, yet without sin. He can totally sympathize with us. So reach out to Him, and that's my encouragement devotional thing for tonight.